Accession number 26843, Real 3.
Mr. Lyons, Real 3. Now, the way we cut off before was when you were sent to HMS Shrapnel. Now, where was HMS Shrapnel?
HMS Shrapnel was a government training centre at Letchworth.
And what was the setup? What was going on there?
Well, it was... we was billeted out into private accommodation. There was... And the course... It's private accommodation. And two sailors were billeted on these people that accepted us in and around Hitchin. This is where I was billeted on this couple in Hitchin.
It and tell us what the billets were like and how
quite
they
treated nice. Well, yeah, very nice, very good. They was very good. We're probably going to jump a little bit here. When we're doing this, the training was done in, because there were so many men there, was done in two shifts. And you had an afternoon shift and a morning shift. You used to finish at 3 sometimes, 1 week, and finish at 11, 3 till 11 another time, you see, or 10 o'clock. Never got home till 11 o'clock at night, you see. Well, but what we did at Letchworth...
Yes, what was the training?
Well, the training. First of all, there was... You went through... what we would call like a machine shop. Now this, you was given, you were shown how to cut the steel, file steel, turn steel, and you was given a piece of steel which was a square, and you had to cut the corner off and make a hole in the middle, a square hole in the middle, and the piece that you had to cut off the corner had to fit the middle of the piece of steel. Can you understand that?
The metal work.
The metal work, general metal work. And you had to file the corner off to an angle, 45 degrees. And that, so you had this piece of metal, when you finished with it, had the corner shaped off, the corner cut out, and the hole in the middle. Now, the metal work class, we used to take us, we had about a fortnight on that, I suppose, all together. Then you graduated into the next week, next fortnight, into... like wiring. This has came so natural to me. I didn't even, just wiring. Like you would wire up houses and wire up, but then and you weren't wiring up houses. There was wiring for ships. You had different cables for ships, but basically the whole thing, as far as I was concerned, was still the same.
Wasn't there a difference between AC and DC current though?
Oh, there is a difference between AC and DC, yeah. But on board, there was only DC, yes. Although there was then, but, later on it became AC because they had AC generators. I mean, we're jumping ahead again now, but...
It's my fault, really, but, did they teach you what DC and AC were?
Oh, yeah. They put it all together. The training of the DC on various motors that you turn... I mean... An alternating current motor, you can just apply the electricity to it and it will start and it will do whatever job you want it to do. Now, if you've got a DC motor, you've got to have... Now, you take... DC motor is a compound, which is a compound wound motor and which has, start windings... and run windings. This is on a DC motor. Now, this is the start windings on a DC motor will take all the torque to start with. And it's like, it was very slow to start with. In fact, these motors, DC motors, I believe they're still used today. They are used in most electric traction today. I mean, I think they still use a compound motors in tube trains and things like that. I'm not certain. I don't think about it. But with an alternating current motor, you just switch it on and away it would go. But with a DC motor, you've got to get the start. You've got to get it started, and then the run windings would take over, and then this would become what you call a compound run.
And they taught you about AC.
Oh,
and
they
DC
taught you about AC and DC. Yeah, they taught you about AC and DC. Yeah, I've still got all my little books and things and all that. I've still got all that. The of lectures that we used to go to. Then we had all this wiring and had tests to see if you had, after each fortnight you had this test. And then the last fortnight they had all to do with ships wiring, various things and compass wirings and things and electrical. And then we had a course on degaussing. Now, degaussing is only an electric current that is passed around the ship to make it anti-magnetic. That is the gauge back that was used for magnetic mines.
What were you learning on the course? I mean,
basically just electrics.
On the degaussing course.
Only how it all worked. That's all. I'd never even heard of it. It was only just told us what it was and how it worked and what it did. And because it's just one of those things that you had to know, or whether you didn't have to. You'd never come in contact with it probably, but that was degaussing, and you just had to know it. Later on, I never have to use it. It was just one of those things that the current flowed from one pole to the other pole for making the ship a steel ship, anti-magnetic. And if you cross the border from north to south, across the equator rather, you switched it over and you went from left to right, right to left, as the saying would go, you know.
Anything else you were learning?
Not really. I mean, all these electrics was just to make you sort of an electric electrician on. But you was
that's what a wireman was, an electrician.
Electrician, yeah, a wireman LC. Now this landing craft business. Well, at this course, I was not taught anything to do with landing craft. Nothing whatsoever. All according to landing craft to the bods that were training us. Incidentally, they was all private. They was all teachers. You know, they weren't nothing to do with the Navy, because it was we used to march there every day and march back again. But they was all private teachers right through the 6-week course. Well, I was very lucky, really, being at Letchworth, because I could come home on weekends, because it's only up the road.
So that would be late September through to about October, November?
Something like that, yeah. Well, then.
It sounds like you're all round. You're doing better as a wireman or electrician than you were as a.
Yeah, I was. I was. I mean, that's what I didn't realise that there was such a course or anything like that in the Navy. I mean, I didn't even know this. But after we left the training centre, Letchworth, Shrapnel, I went to Devonport.
Now, so that'd be October-ish or November?
October-ish. This is.
There's nothing else about Letchworth, and that's.
No, Letchworth was just a training course that you passed or you didn't pass. If you passed, you got a draft jet, and you went to. I went to Devonport.
That was your home port then?
That was, they made it my home port. Yeah, I was Portsmouth to start with, but they made it. When I joined, I was a PJX, but when I was sent to Devonport, I became a DMX. It's Devonport. The numbers changed and one thing, and a DMX 611231. You never forget that, do you?
Now, what happened when you got to Devonport?
I was in there one night, and what a place. My God, it was the last place God made, Devonport.
What was wrong with it?
What I could say was what was right with it. I would say a jail would be better than what Devonport Barracks was like. It was a terrible place. I thought it was
in
a terrible
place. In what way? Tell us.
Well, I was only there a day. I was there a day and I came all the way back. I was in there.
What was it that made such a bad impression?
It was like going into a prison. Put it that way. That's the way I could have termed it in those days. Devonport Barracks was like a prison, and that's the way I saw it. And I thought, what have I let myself in for here? Terrible place. Terrible place. Well, after that, they gave me a draft chip to air. Now I've all. Air, which is the other side of it, and I was to pick up an LCTR. What the hell's an LCTR? I've got no idea what an LCTR was, not until I saw it. Well, you've got to remember, this is all blackout again. I'm travelling back, I had to travel all the way back to London, change at London. Go all the way to Ayr. No, go to Glasgow. Change at Glasgow to go to Ayr. Now, after all this travelling, I went to sleep and I missed Ayr completely. I don't know where I finished up, but they threw all my gear out at Ayr. And somebody gave me a nudge while I was in the carriage and say, "Where do you want to get out?" And I said, "Ayr." He said, "Well, that's about five stops back, you know." So I had to get out, and I was lucky, really, because there was a train. When I saw the station master, whoever he was, I asked him, "Was there a train back to Ayr?" Because I've overslept and I'd got out of the wrong place, and there was one, and it came back, and I was got back to Ayr. Well, the people that were whoever was most to meet me, they'd gone. They thought I'd jump ship sort of thing, you know. But on every big railway station, there was a... And what do they call them? RTOs? Anyway, there was always... you always went to the RTO if you was on a big station, and they put you right. Well,
railway transport.
It was sort of, yeah. That was railway transport officer for the Navy. Well, for the forces. For the forces. The Army was there. The Red Caps were there. The Navy was there. And they was there. So I went and reported to there, and I explained to them. Oh, he said, "They was looking for you." And I said, "Well, I was asleep, and I'm sorry." I said, I went down six stories too. I said, "What happened to me kit?" "Oh, they've got your kit. They took that with me." And now we went again back into some private accommodation. Now, this is where the whole thing sort of goes a bit vague. I don't remember. I went there in the dark. And the whole crew, this was a house or something, a hotel or a house or something, that had been taken over by the Navy. And all the crew were there in this house. Well, when I said to this, I think he was a coxswain or somebody, I don't know. I said to this chap that was there, that was a part of the crew, I said, "What is an LCTR? You don't know?" I said, "Oh, you've hit me with a stick sort of thing." I said, "I still don't know what it is." "Well, you wait till you see it." Well, an LCTR, when I saw it next morning, I thought, "My goodness me, what is this?" Well, it was a converted tank landing craft. The bow doors had been welded up where the tanks would have gone in. The weld deck was plated over, so it made an upper deck, and on the upper deck were these rockets. There was 1,064 rockets on this damn thing. What am I supposed to know? What about that?
All in the electrics of these rockets?
No, not a thing. Not a thing. I had never had anything whatsoever. They was all alien to the whole of the crew. I think the skipper might have known something about it, but I didn't. Neither did anybody else, as far as I know. So, it was all new. So we did trials.
You were staying ashore, but your LCTR...
Well, no, we were staying ashore for a while, but unlike an LCT, because it was an LCTR, they had converted and there was a mess room, and we lived on it. And because we lived on it, we got paid extra money, fourpence a day, old money, that is.
And you were just in. Was there a harbour air then?
Oh yeah, harbour was on a river. Yeah, harbour was on a river. Yeah.
And did this LCTR have a number?
Yes, it did. It was LCTR 447. That is something else you'll never forget.
Now, tell me how you got to grips with this problem of how to use these rockets, and could you describe the rockets as well?
They were rockets. They were, I suppose, they was about 4 or 5 foot long, and they was all in these racks. Now, if I said these racks look like Dexian, would you know what I meant? You know what Dexian is? Well, Dexian is a sort of a load of angle iron with a lot of holes in it. And people buy Dexian and make shelves and things out of it. That's what they buy it like these days. But this is the only way I can describe it now. but these rockets slid into these down there. Each rocket had to be handled. Everything was done by hand. Everything was done by hand. And you had to climb up onto the top of these rocket launchers, the launch pads, sort of thing, and all you had to walk on was wooden scaffold boards. Now, you slide these things in one by one. Now, I'm not saying that I slid them in one by one. No, that would be wrong to say that. They were slid in one by one, and they were slid in by the dockyard people. They slid them in, not me. I didn't have anything to do with sliding rockets in. This was all more or less supervised by what looked like, I suppose, they was private people. There was nothing to do with the Navy. They was some boffins and things like that. Because it was all new, they were. I mean, nobody knew what an LCTR was. But they all slid these rockets in, and right forward there was this launch pad. I'll use the word pad for better use, and it had 64 rockets. Now, these could be fired independently, all together, in banks of eight or this is one of the jobs I did do. Looking, making certain that all the contacts of the electrical contacts of the firing of them was in working order. They was all there. Now, the firing of them was done by the skipper.
Now, what was the system?
I'm just coming to that. The system, the way I see it now, was so antiquated, it was unbelievable. There was this big board. The electric board for firing was behind the flash screen. Now, the flash screen, they had to have a flash screen because when a rocket went off, there was flash was so bright. But the electrical part of that was behind this, by the wheelhouse, behind the flash screen. Now, this was a big board with about, I would say, must be 20 or 30 tumbler switches on it. Now, an ordinary tumbler switch in those days, they were brown. Now, you would use these brown switches in an electrical house, in a house with electrical, and they were these brown. And what the skipper used to say, pipe down, he wanted such and such and such a rack activated, and used to knock all these switches down, and then he would fire whatever he wanted to fire. Now, these rockets could be fired from the 64, they were range finders. If you could forget the guns and get the range. Now, he could fire these 1,000 off in one go if he wanted, which they did. But they could fire them off so that once they got the range, they could let a salvo go, and then when the smoke had cleared, they could see whether the salvo had got where they wanted to go, you see, and then he could let some more go, or if he was still a bit too far out or too close, he'd back off, whatever.
So they weren't aimed, they were just pointed.
But just, they was fixed, they was fixed, it was, they were fixed, like,
how can they I... They can't see it, though.
Look, like that, they was fixed, they
were... About 45 degrees.
45 degrees, they was riveted, they was fixed to the, they were not movable, no, they weren't movable, not like you could, but no, they was fixed, permanently fixed. Now,
so you aimed the ship to aim them.
You aimed the ship to where you wanted to go, yeah, they aimed the craft. No, don't call them ships, they were craft.
And what did our individual rocket look like in the sense of how much explosive, and
Well, I don't know how much explosive was there, but there was very long, thin tubes with a fin, and at the base there was this big contact, and that when it was slid into the tube that it was pointed at, it hit a hammer, the contact was, because it was DC, you had the hammer that would be the positive, and the negative would have been all the rack, you see. So when it slid down, it was the electrical contact was made. But they was then fired. I mean, we done a lot of trials from
air. Tell me about the trials. What do you remember about
the trials? Well, the trials, we done a lot of trials in the Clyde and up and around there. They was done for compass work, for compass bearing, and then at one time we went... I think it was the Isle of Arran for a trial, letting these rockets go.
And what was it like? How did it go?
Well, you was not allowed on the upper deck. The only person on the upper deck was the captain or the skipper, and he was on the bridge, and he was in a little tiny tin hut thing he was. After the rear of the flash screen. Now, all the crew was below decks behind the flash screen, because the rocket, when it went off, it was like any other rocket. You got in the way of that, you got burned. Anybody else that's ever been on one, after firing a salvo of rockets from an LCT arm, had to come back into port and be repainted, because it burnt all the paint. Burnt all the paint off. That was there was so much heat, and that I mean, they were deadly things. They were. I mean, but we kicked about Scotland in that for
a
long time.
So when he had a firing trial, would he practice firing all 1,000?
We practiced. They went. They practiced to get the range. We didn't let the 1,000. They got this range with these range finders, and then let this 1,000 go at one salvo into Isle of Arran. I'm pretty sure Isle of Arran. I don't know how many sheep we killed, but I don't know.
You wouldn't see it because you wouldn't see it.
You didn't see it. No, you wouldn't. You didn't see it in all my life aboard this LCTR. You didn't see the LCTR. You didn't see the rockets go. No, you the only person that ever saw the rockets go, if he could see it, was this skipper, and he was looking through a little tiny slit.
Now, tell me about the composition of the crew. How many people roughly, and what did everyone
there was
do?
There was the captain or the skipper. He would be a wavy navy. He was RNR. He was a trawler skipper, because they had a lot of trawler skippers on these landing craft. the first lieutenant, which was he was just an ordinary sub lieutenant. We called him first lieutenant because there was only the two on there. He was a sub lieutenant. He was a young man like myself, you know. He was probably a bit older than me, obviously. He was a young man. That was nice enough. Both of them, they were both very nice. The skipper, he was right down to earth man. He was. I mean, he was a trawlerman. I mean, I think he came from Grimsby or something like that. You know, he was a right down to earth man. We had a coxswain, which he'd done a lot of years. He was a three badgeman. He'd done so. That must have say he must have been. Must have been in the Navy 12 years or more, probably. And then there was the crew, like seamen, that done the thing. And there was a radio operator. And we had a cook, because we had a galley. That had a little tiny galley, sort of an electric galley thing.
So how many sort of seamen and stokers, roughly?
Oh, not more than half a dozen altogether. There wouldn't have more than half a dozen. There couldn't have been. There wasn't room. There wasn't room for any more. You see, they weren't built in the beginning to have a crew. You have a crew because it wouldn't go without a crew. But to have a crew that would live aboard. They weren't built for that. They was all converted for that. Anyway, that was all.
And tell us about the mess deck. How was the mess deck divided? What was the living space like?
About as big as my kitchen out there. Very, 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 very small. Now,
who was on it? Were you all on it? Or
we was all on it. All on it. Nobody ever went ashore. We lived on it. It lived on the thing. And the funny part about it, even when we was in port, we lived on it.
Describe it for us.
I was just coming to that. Well, where the well deck, where the tanks would have been, which we would call a well deck, there were storage racks down there for rockets. Not that we carried any spares. All the time I was on it, it never carried any spares. Any reloading was done by the dockyard people. We never touched them. But the well deck, where the tanks would have been, right forward was some metal pans which were used for your toilets. No bathing facilities, no bathing, yet that was just an ordinary cold wash, no heating at all. Cold wash, just some sort of toilets. Now, to get a shower or a bath, we used to pull in to somewhere in one of the ports, and we used to go ashore and use. In Scotland, they had a lot of bathhouses in there. They did have a lot of baths. They don't have them. I don't have them nowadays. Bathhouses which you could go and have a bath, and you go and have a bath and clean your body up and wash your socks and everything else. But that's the only way I can remember. There was this big place. It was like a swimming pool, but it also had these bathhouses, and you just like little lockers, and you just run yourself some water in and sat in it and had a bath and got yourself cleaned up again and went back aboard. But we never had any facilities aboard for keeping yourself clean. I don't recommend it to anybody.